Heavenly Father, we do ask, Lord, your blessing. We ask your provision, Lord, upon your word in this time. Open our ears to hear. Lord, give me clarity of thought. Use my words to your praise and your glory, we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Most of us are driven. Actually, I think I would dare say all of us are driven in some capacity or in some way. There's a reason that you get up in the morning. And some seasons of life, the reasons might seem vague or distant, but we go through each day. We approach each day, whether fully realizing it or not, with a purpose in mind. We have a beautiful gift inside of us. And I want to clarify this. For some people, passions are seen as a bad thing. I believe passion is a wonderful gift of God. Is that okay? I cannot tell at all if that is okay by your reaction. If it's not okay, clarify with me after. But I believe they're a wonderful gift of God. Thank you for that passionate response, wherever it came from. We have this gift of desire. We can think and just look back within the opening chapters of Genesis, and we have the desire within Adam and Eve. Before the fall, they were created with passion, and we understand, those who have been around church and or in Scripture for a while, there's an understanding that the passion we're given is to be directed fully and completely toward God. That is what we were made for. And Adam and Eve in the garden had passion. And God put in the midst of the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we know that Eve looked at it and desired it. There was desire there, and ate and disobeyed the Lord God in the midst of the garden. We have desire. We have passion, if you will. Drive, capacity to choose and to do, to will and to act. And Paul, or Saul, was a man of great passion. When Paul set about to do something, he did it with all that he had. I don't know if you know people who are overly zealous, just over the top with energy, just overly persistent, to the point maybe even of annoyance. They have so much drive. Paul was persistent. Paul was passionate. Paul was aggressive with the things that he believed. And Paul believed initially that Jesus was not the Messiah. And he pursued and persecuted those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the followers of the way. Those who had put their faith in this Jesus Christ, those who believed that Jesus had actually risen from the dead, and those who staked their whole life on that truth, Paul pursued with letters and permission from the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and he persecuted them and sought them out at great cost and again at great distance because he believed they were wrong. Paul had a purpose in life. And his purpose was for the Lord God, or God if you will, but he misunderstood fully who this God was and did not understand at that point who Jesus was as the coming Messiah or as the Christ. But Paul was passionate. And then as we read through, and there's a few different accounts of Paul's conversion experience within the book of Acts, Paul has an experience on the road with Jesus, with the risen Jesus. And it's interesting the question that is asked, as was read for us, Paul, or Saul, why do you persecute me? It is difficult for you to kick against the goats. It is difficult for you to be fighting against your destiny. If you will allow me to generalize, the destiny of each and every one of us is to put our desire fully in the Lord God. In any way that you choose to live, any purpose that you drive or drives you, any reason for existing that you grasp onto with all that you've got, that is outside of living for God, is a difficult life. Now, when we look at Paul's life after his conversion, we might say that his life got difficult at that point. But one of the beautiful things with Paul in the book of Philippians, whether in chains or other chains, different places as well in Scripture, and I think of Philippians, of rejoicing in all things, or having peace that passes understanding. Even in this passage that was read for us this morning, God was with him in everything that he did. And he is in chains, and things are difficult in the physical sense, but God's presence is there. The difficult life is a life placing your desire in things outside of God. One of the beautiful things that happens for Paul as he has this conversion experience, he realizes this God that he has been serving in persecuting the followers of the way, this God that he has been obeying in fighting against those who have believed in Jesus, becomes the God who in Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. The Word of God that Paul would have had and understood and comprehended to a degree that he was persecuting the church becomes the God who in Christ is the fulfillment of those Old Testament teachings. Paul's world came together in Christ. In Christ, Paul gained a great understanding of the grace and the mercy and the love of the God contained within the Mosaic Law, contained within the prophets, as displayed in and through Christ. Paul speaks of himself in Scripture as putting his faith in this Jesus who loved him and died for him. Where do you place your faith? For what reason do you live? What is your drive and your purpose? What are you hoping to get to when I'm done rambling this morning? What is on your heart? What is in your mind? What do you hope for? What do you dream for? Paul's life was reoriented around the wonder and the truth of the life, death, and a resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was some debate within Scripture, depending on the religious class and the Pharisees and some of the other in the Sanhedrin, and depending where you fit in some of these religious sects or groups within the New Testament or under the Old Testament as well. Some believed in resurrection and some did not. As a Pharisee, there would be no issue necessarily with a belief in the resurrection. And Paul has come to this wonderful realization. We find it in chapter 8 of Acts 26. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Paul, through the encounter with Jesus Christ, has come to the wonderful insight that Jesus was, that Jesus is the Christ. A new life, eternal life, abundant life is found in him. Have you come to that realization? It's hard to tell once again by your reaction. If you have come to that realization, it ought to be all-consuming for you. It ought to be for me. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, died for our sin, resurrected on the third day, ascended and is seated at the right hand of God and is interceding for us at this very moment. And he offers us abundant life. He offers us the opportunity and the ability to once again step into our destiny, which is to live our life for God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's something worth living for.
That's right.
That's something to get excited over. That's something to be consumed by, and Paul was. Paul, who was persecuting the church and the followers of the way, has now become a follower of the way. And he finds himself in chains as he's preaching the good news to the governors and the kings and has appealed to the emperor. I love the response, Festus pushed back. You've lost your mind, Paul. You've lost your mind. King Agrippa, do you want me also to believe? Are you trying to so easily persuade me? Yes. Yes. I wish that you would all believe. I wish that you would all gain a passion for the Christ. I wish that you would all repent and follow Jesus. I wish that you would all know him the way that I now know him. Minus the chains. Minus the persecution. Minus the hardship. Church, I wish that we would all believe with the passion of Paul in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with the desire of Paul to know Jesus and to know him in the power of his resurrection, to be able to profess with like-mindedness with Paul, I no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would ignite in us once again, a passion for the Lord. Ignite in me, once again, a passion for the Lord. Help us to be aware and to realize the wonder of your grace, the truth and the reality of your life, death, and resurrection, that it is fulfillment of Scripture, fulfillment of the prophets, and that it calls us to new life, calls us to repentance, calls us to abundance, possibly to persecution and hardship, but in the midst of that, the peace and contentment of the presence of the Lord and the gift of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray and we ask that in this, you would also give us a boldness proclaim and profess to any who would hear. And Lord, that our desire for you would not only be for our sake, but that we would desire others to know you, to love you, to stop fighting against their destiny, but to align their lives with the very life of Christ, the very gift of God. Lord, help us to this end, we ask and we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.